everybody. Welcome to Slip Angle. We are at Pikes Peak International Raceway. It's Saturday night, and the Drifty Boys are out on track. I tried to find a quiet spot, and I am here with Drew Cleaver, driver of a new-ish Tesla Model 3, and he's going really fast in Time Attack. Hi, Drew. Welcome on the show.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Events are done for the night for me, and I get a chance to hang out and chill a little. Tell me about why you chose the Model 3 to come to Time Attack, and why are you at GridLife in the first place?
Honestly, I've been a big fan of Elon Musk in general and everything that he's done, and just following Tesla's evolution throughout the years, it's become such a fast package with little maintenance. It's cost effective. It's just a fantastic platform. It drives completely different than anything else I've ever driven. It's a complete lifestyle change.
So that it's an interesting question. Like, how do you, if you have driven internal combustion engines on the track before, what's the transition to tracking an electric car where you don't have that audio feedback that you're so used to?
It's really quiet. There is a lot of wind noise. The wind buffering kind of silences a lot of the tire feedback that would be nice to have in absence of the motor noise. But it's got such good direct steering inputs that you feel everything and you hear everything as well. Like, it's got a really stiff chassis and everything comes through the wheel right into your hands.
Okay. And we've had Unplugged Performance on the show before. You told me earlier today when I got a chance to check out your car, you've got a couple of their parts on your car. How has those changes been?
Right. So just this week, I put on Unplugged's lowering springs, sway bars, and their rear camber arms to tie everything together. And on the street, around town, it's been fantastic. Absolutely, completely different car. This is my first track event, really putting a ton of laps on the car. So I don't have anything to compare it to. But it stays so flat, and it saves the tire wear significantly. Just
how much camber up front?
It's only got about a degree right now because I don't have anything adjustable.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had it aligned, so I lowered it and had it aligned, and they reset the toe. But there's no factory camber adjustment available. You got to go to like an aftermarket A arm, which Unplugged actually has a brand new unit out that's really sweet because you go get a street alignment with it, and then they have like a pill in the top end of it that you can flip it
for, oh, neat,
for 2 degrees of camber gain, and then you can flip it back while you're swapping your wheels and tires out after the track in like 5 minutes.
That seems super easy.
Yeah. So
what did you drive on track before you had the Tesla?
So I grew up racing go-karts.
Okay.
And then got super involved into Lemons Racing when that was a thing, and then that kind of evolved into Chump Car Racing and then World Racing League.
Okay.
We ran a E30 325. We put about 10,000 miles on that.
My goodness.
Yeah. And then my dad had a Panos, one of the GT Women's Challenge retired cars.
Oh, cool.
Messed around with that for a little while. E46 M3 when I was in high school. I was fortunate to drive that at Texas Motor Speedway on the Roval at night.
Okay, awesome.
I mean, all over the board, really. Justin, Thang 3 Racing. Ran a couple races with his Miata. I mean, all over the board.
That's awesome. And so what year is the Model 3?
It's a 2019.
Okay. And that, I mean, that is a really, really new model overall.
Right.
Have there been changes year over year that have affected, like, how much track potential they have?
What's fascinating about owning a Tesla in general is the software updates.
Sure.
So I bought that car in September of last year. It's almost a year old now. But I mean, even in the first 1, 2, 3 months of ownership, it just keeps getting better every month. There's 1 to 2 updates a month, and it's always something that you would think, like, this is just a software edit. Why can't we do XYZ?
Sure.
And sure enough, 30, 60, 90 days out, it just gets better.
That's wild. So when I was in the car with you earlier, you showed me a little bit about an operation mode in the car called track mode.
Correct.
Which has some really unique features. You have the all-wheel drive option in your car. Tell
right.
me about how you've messed with settings and what you'd like and don't like about that setup.
Yeah, so you have the ability to change the front and rear power distribution. So like it has like a preset drift mode where it goes 100% to the rear, cuts the stability assistance, everything to zero. But then also, too, like you can fine tune. I've been running 60 to the rear and 40 to the front based on the recommendation of John Laughlin, who's probably done more Model 3 track records and sort of thing. He does a lot of the streetcar challenge. And that was just based off his feedback and recommendation. Because the thing is that makes it tough is you don't get a whole lot of chances.
Sure.
So you've got a bunch of different options, this, that, and the other, but it's, you know, it's hard to make sense of everything when you have a limited amount of time, power, energy, all that to work with. But it's nice. It does pretty efficient on the track with the regen all the way up because that helps save the brakes.
Oh, sure.
It slows the car down. It rebuilds energy. Yeah.
So I'm curious on the regen modes and the hard braking zones here.
Right.
I assume there's some max capacity on regen, and then the system will just start using brakes.
Right.
Like can you feel the difference between the like the use of conventional brake and when the regen is operating?
It's a unique feel for sure because it almost takes the place of trail braking because it has like a constant deceleration kind of drag to it when you're off the gas or off the brakes.
Okay.
It's always slowing if you're not on the gas.
I see.
And so you kind of have to get the car slowed and then you get completely off the brakes, but you're technically kind of trail braking through a neutral throttle.
Interesting.
And then you just hammer the thing down and boogie.
I bet that's a different driving experience for sure.
It's a little tricky. I feel like I drive that car a little sloppier than I would most any other car. It's not so much of finesse. You kind of just got to bury it down and get it shut down, point it, and rip it.
So you're... Drifty boys. Pause for Drifty boys. You're really the first competitor that we've seen put forth a noticeable effort in our EV class. And so... we're really excited to see it. You're on, you're otherwise legal for street class, which is pretty exciting because you're putting the hurt on those guys. And I mean, I think right now you're maybe about 0.6 of a second up off their best times this evening. But I'm amazed that a vehicle weighing 4,000 plus pounds on tires that narrow can compete.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, it's that good. I try to tell people, you know, like, oh, Tesla, oh, this, that, and the other. I'm like, it's different. It's not, you can't hardly compare it. I've probably had 15 or 20 different cars, German, Japanese, American, domestic, all over the place. And it's just, it's different. It's completely different.
So with the majority of the weight of the car being so low, what is it like going through the dip here right after turn one? I mean, I imagine it doesn't hop around the same way a conventional car would.
So it wiggles. It definitely wiggles. It's on factory dampers right now. So I think, you know, just being on stock shocks and everything, it definitely takes a pretty big hit in the dip. But it's very similar to being on the street on like a freeway overpass or something. The center of gravity is so centered and it's so low that it just kind of bites. Like it might move around a little bit, but it plants super quick. It squats when you get any sort of unsettling. So
well, I think there's something to be said about how the used market looks for Teslas. You can find them, but they're not inexpensive, even when they're decently old. And I think that says a lot about, well, people just continue to like them.
Right.
And I don't know a whole lot about reliability on something like a 12 or a 10 year old Tesla, but things seem to be going right for them.
Yeah, I mean all the forecast type information I've seen with like running costs over time and reliability, you know, like I said, I've not even quite owned this a year and I'm abusing it a little bit, so that's still to be determined. But generally speaking, there's no maintenance. You know, change the brake pads, flush the fluid, tires.
Stuff you'd do for any track day, really.
It's pretty simple. It's nice to not to have to work on it.
Yeah, I imagine so. tell me about how you got to Grid Life.
So,
Because this is your first event with us, so yeah, thank you for coming.
Yeah, this is my first Grid Life event finally to attend. I've been casually following along on social media and whatnot, but I really started to pay attention once COVID happened, actually, and we started doing the Grid Life iRacers series with a live stream. And the quality of driving that I saw in that group compared to the rest of iRacing, paired with the quality of the stream broadcast, and I had friends literally all over the world watching, like having a blast, that I didn't even think were race fans, and they're like, I don't have anything else better to do, let me watch this iRacing stream. And I got hit up by people that I hadn't talked to in years because it was so much fun.
I don't know if you're paying attention to the live stream from this event, but the lead commentator for Grid Life iRacing is doing the GLTC commentary for this race weekend as well.
Kyle is
the best.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Does a really good job.
I usually bring the quality of the show down when I'm on, but he carries me pretty good. So, your home base is Oklahoma, and I think early on in the show we talked about other types of racing that you've done historically. Do you have any wheel-to-wheel prep cars that you could run in GLTC?
So I've got a 5-year going on Mustang Fox Body project that's about a cage and a seat and harness away from being GLTC.
Any interest?
Yes, other than it being a terrible car. Yeah. It's just kind of like an old nostalgic build project, and I would love to run it out here. I just think it'll probably be terrible, but it's on my it's on my horizon for sure.
Well, I don't know if you saw the announcement. Grid Life is going to be at NOLA Motorsports Park in November.
Oh, no,
which
I
is
didn't.
A really big announcement for us because we're going back into the South, and that's like, it's not super close to you, but it's not, you know, it's not a drive to Michigan either. So
no, it's actually, that's probably one of the closest tracks that you guys do.
I've never run there, but I've heard really exciting things about how fun that place is to drive.
It's fantastic. It's a beautiful facility.
High speed, right? A couple of really...
We were doing over 100 miles an hour through their little sweeper chicane section in our E30 chump car.
Okay.
I mean, it was glass surface as well, like, just fantastic track surface.
Yeah, Grid Life is going to have some kind of residency there. I think we're going to like plan to be back multiple times over the course of the next few months. So I think that's going to be really exciting. It's great to have kind of a national presence.
Yeah,
Grid Life travels a decent amount, but certain regions of the country are just harder to get to.
Sure.
We did an event at Circuit of the Americas alongside Super Lap Battle in February.
Right.
That's quite a haul for the teams to get down there, and it's a haul for us as well because all of us are based in, you know, Chicago, Indianapolis area. So tracks that far away, sometimes you got to bring a big old bus to get all the people and the stuff down to run an event.
Yeah.
Now, your local track, is that Hallett?
Yeah, I've been in Tulsa about 3 years now, and so Hallett's about 35 minutes west of downtown.
Okay. You run there decently often?
Not really.
Okay.
I've done a few. I think I've done 2 or 3 days in the Tesla just to kind of get some like burn rate information on how much power consumption and, you know, just get a feel for the car and whatnot to make sure that I could even, you know, make it worthwhile to travel anywhere, because I originally signed up for NCM in Kentucky.
Yeah, right.
And obviously that got canceled.
We were really, really disappointed to have to put the brakes on that one.
Because
we love the track manager and the track team. They've got great vibes, and I've never heard anyone say anything bad about driving that track, ever.
It's an absolutely fantastic facility. It's probably the nicest track I've ever driven.
I've not been behind the wheel, but if you haven't been to Barber, Barber's pretty exceptional, too.
I can only say that because I haven't been to Barber.
Barber is it's a magical
like a toss-up.
Place.
It sounds like a toss-up. Everyone I've talked to says Barber's the most fantastic racetrack on the, you know, in the country, but
no doubt.
Not many people have been to NCM, and it is a beautiful facility.
Well, NCM is one of those tracks where, you know, if people are running Grand Full, uh-huh. If you tell me what your lap time is on Grand Full, I immediately know if you're a fast driver or not.
I think I did a 2:21 in Justin's car.
Yeah, that's pretty quick. I'm expecting our unlimited cars. Had everything been running okay this year and the cars from Canada been able to come out and run unlimited, I would not be surprised to see 158s at NCM.
Wow.
Those cars are wicked.
It's a fast track, though. It's so fun.
And there's so many corners that reward you if you've got the guts to take them. Like,
yeah,
those high speed corners give me the willies.
It's that was on our mind for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So what other events do you have planned for the car in the foreseeable future?
None.
Okay.
There's just the uncertainty of this year right now. And as far as also too, like, just the logistics of the right event with the right track, it's hard to you can't go to every event. Like, there's certain ones that just kind of fit the bill.
Oh, for sure.
Like NCM, for instance, the reason why NCM works, even though it's a long lap, there's a supercharger within 10 minutes of the track in Bowling Green. So it's you can refill all day long for free.
Yeah, you're kind of saved here at Pikes Peak International because there's RV power everywhere.
I got lucky with that, yeah.
And it helps a lot. It's a 50-amp service, so
right.
It's probably not as fast as a supercharger, but it's definitely much better than, like, a conventional 110 outlet.
So the 240 is actually about 10 times faster than a 110 outlet.
Okay.
But a supercharger is 10 to 20 times faster than a 240 outlet.
So tell me about prepping for a time attack session. So the car is effectively at full charge or close.
Right.
You go out and you probably run a few hot laps.
Yeah.
With some cool downs in between, I'm sure.
Sure.
What do you come back in with? How many hours does it take to charge back up?
So most of my sessions have ended around 70% plus or minus 5%, depending on how many hot laps I was able to get in. And that on a 240 outlet has been about a 4-hour recharge.
Okay.
Which with the scheduling of grid life has been pretty manageable.
Sure.
I've only supercharged once, and that was largely because we had like 7 hours, I think, on Friday.
Okay.
And it was around lunchtime and we were all hungry. So we went into Colorado Springs, put the cars on the supercharger, had a nice sit down lunch, and then came back with full batteries.
That sounds nice. I've been camped out in my RV for the last 3 days. You know, if you have a race program, can people follow you on social media, or do you just...
I've got an open Instagram that's just Drew.Cleaver.
Okay, cool.
But I don't run social hard. I like to lay low and do my thing. But
well, we really appreciate you coming out. I think you're gonna be a focal point for the podium ceremony tomorrow for sure, because GridLife is trying to invest heavily and support EV programs.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
We really, really want to see EV and time attack, because I think the fit is natural.
It is.
In that competition style, it works. Yeah. And, you know, if you're at tracks with power, I think it's kind of a win for everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. And I hope to see, too, like, especially now that there's been so many more superchargers put out and Tesla's growing, you know, end over end, I would love to see them put more superchargers at racetracks.
Yeah, I think it takes a few drivers going out and showing the performance potential of the car, because
most people are surprised.
Well, I think it's easy to stack the deck on, like, promotional material to be like, oh, look at how amazing it is.
Yeah, 0 to 60 time. Well,
but
yeah,
when you start to see, like, regular people taking them to events and seeing how much performance there is available,
yeah,
I think it's hard to argue.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to take too much of your time. It's getting a little bit late, but thank you for being on the show. Thank you for coming to this event and showing everybody, putting everybody on their heels with respect to how fast an EV can be. So thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's been a blast.
Take care.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at a grid life to say hello.